Okay, well, we are going to start in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and I wanted to share a little bit on God's Word concerning the subject of increasing in love. Increasing in love. And love is a big subject. Love to talk about it. There's a lot of things that people will equate to love. There's a lot of songs, movies, poems, books, stories written about love. Just, you know, I've been hearing the word love since I could remember. I'm sure we're all in that same spot. But not all love is the same. And sometimes what we think were at one time thought was love has got nothing to do with love. And so a lot of misunderstandings out there. But one question is, where did love come from? And how did we get it? So we're going to just take a look in 1 John 4. One thing, a great characteristic of God, he's the author of it, is that God says he is love. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And he is love. And in verse 7, it says, Beloved, lettuce, that's a vegetable you can find in most grocery stores, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, and that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 9 shows the manifestation of God's love, and that is that he gave his only begotten Son for us. Which is really amazing. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's part of love. Love has giving in it. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. So one thing we know from God's word is that God himself is love. And that one way he manifested his love was that he gave his Son for mankind. For all people. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 shows a little bit more about that. It says, But God commendeth his love toward us, which is amazing in and of itself, that his love is directed to us. I remember when I was first starting to date Susan a couple years ago, and I became so thankful when I realized that she actually loved me. That she wasn't just a friend of mine, or I was her friend, but that she loved me. And I was like, this is nice. But, when we recognize that God loves us, it does something for us that no other thing can do. So I lost my page. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's great love. It's really great love. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. God gave his only begotten Son, and then Jesus Christ was very loving to be a willful part of that plan. Good thing he didn't pick us. We might have second thoughts. It's my other way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, or you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Just wild. These are great truths concerning love. The world's got a lot of ideas of what love is. Maybe some of them are right if they line up with God's words. Maybe they don't. You know, if the devil said, hey, I love you, you better watch out. Things may not be coming to you the way you think they would be. God did what he did for us, not based on our good works. It was based on the fact that he loved us. He loved mankind, and he was going to make his move regardless of how mankind treated him. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. I'm often amazed, and it's always just a pleasant reminder to me through the years of watching mothers with their children. And there's a lot of mothers here. And the sacrifices that moms do for their children, as far as, you know, things for their own lives maybe, or the discomforts that they go through, staying up all night at times, or getting puked on, cleaning up messes, you know, all the things that moms do for their children. And moms aren't God, you know, and it's not that, like, especially a little infant. What does that little baby done that should deserve so much care? Hadn't done anything to the mom other than give her a hard time as soon as she came out. Crying, keeping her up at night. I mean, what did that kid really do to deserve any good care at that point?
Good care.
What would happen if the mom said, look, I'm not bothering with you until you get your act together? Population on Earth would be a lot less. I mean, but I've always, through the years, they just marvel at it, you know. or the sacrifices a dad will do to take care of his family, you know. And I've seen on the other side where parents don't make any sacrifices. And those kids have some major needs, you know. I'm sure we've all seen that. Not amongst really believers, but we've all seen kids with great hardship. And a lot of times you can link it to how they're treated and taken care of, or lack of. But God takes such great care of us. Chapter 4, verse 4, in 1 John, I said 1 John, right? Chapter 4. We're going to go to verse 19, which says, we love him because he first loved us. So, to get the record straight, you know, we didn't seek out God and love him, and he starts, oh, look at that guy down there. He actually likes me. I'm going to be nice to him. God's the prime mover. He's the first one to make the move in the relationship. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's got a good reason, probably. God just calls it out. He's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. So the actions of a brother or a sister shouldn't determine our loving that individual or not loving that individual. We didn't deserve God's love, and yet he made salvation available to us. And maybe our brother and sister doesn't deserve a love, but God doesn't say, well, wait until the guy gets his act together, then you can be nice to him. It doesn't say that. If that was the case, we'd all be in trouble. let's go to Mark chapter 12. What's really interesting, in God's relationship to mankind, God doesn't ask us to love him. He commands us to love him. I guess he figured if he asked us, maybe we wouldn't. But he commands us as, you know, mankind to love him. And in Mark chapter 12, Jesus Christ was asked a question. And in verse 28, I knew I was in the wrong spot. I'm in Luke. Like it's on the wrong part of the page there. Okay, Mark chapter 12, verse 28 says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them, reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, dun, 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 hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.'" Do you notice one word that's used repetitively in that verse? All. He doesn't just want a part of our heart, you know, a part of our strength, a part of our effort, part of our soul life. He wants it all. Just like we want to give all of our love to our kids, we don't like say, "Yeah, I like you, but you know, I'm not." You're like a 68%, you know. You know, God wants all of our heart. He wants every ounce of whatever's in that thing. He wants it all, and I don't blame him, because we got his all, right? He's dumped everything he has into our lives and for us, for mankind. He gave his, the only son that actually did his will perfectly, and you know what I mean? That's just pretty good. So, verse 29. And Jesus answered him, verse 31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So God's commanding us to love him, which is really wild. So we're to love our neighbor, and this was the standard given by God Almighty of how people are to love one another, to love thy neighbor as thyself. So if you don't want somebody to lie to you, then don't lie to them. If you don't like them stealing from you, well, don't steal. If you don't want people to speak behind your back or speak evil of you, then don't do that to the other people. It's a great standard. You know, if you really want people to treat you a certain way, well, you should treat people that way. The world standard for love is not necessarily anywhere near that. A lot of times it's where love, if it benefits you, yeah, okay, I'll love that guy. If it makes you look good, yeah, I'll do that. It's not based on the things of God. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. This kind of shows God's, the world's way of loving and God's way of loving. And we've all been on both sides of the fence. And it probably will be like that until the return, because we're never going to love perfectly until then, because we're imperfect, although we have the ability. Chapter 5, verse 43. There isn't a verse 43.
Mark 5:43.
Mark 5?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Last verse.
He charged them straightly. I don't think that's what you're looking for.
Different charge.
Well, it's probably 450. 43. But there is no 443. All right, well,
what the verse
the way
said.
It goes.
No commandments?
Well, it's about the people who prayed loudly and around a lot of people so that people could see that they were praying or things like that. But I get the wrong verse. And it also shows about God's love. He allows the sun to shine on the good and the evil. And so he compares his love, and then he says he wants us to love like that, to love like our Heavenly Father. It's in there somewhere. Let's go to John chapter 13.
Matthew 5:45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven.
Yeah, that's right. The one. So Matthew 5:45. Matthew what?
Matthew 5:45 is the one that says that he makes sense rain on the just. And
okay,
the
so I wrote the wrong M gospel. I put Mark instead of Matthew.
Matthew 5.
Close, but no cigar. Chapter 5 and verse 43. It's right there on the page where it should be.
Oh,
I told Jesse, our Jesse, the other day. I said, I never wanted to move off of the Cambridge King James Version because I've used it ever since I've been in the Word, and I know where it is supposed to be on the page. And when I've tried other Bibles, this is someplace else, and I have harder time. I said, as long as I can see these letters, I'm sticking with it. Because years ago I bought a large print Bible in preparation, and I thought, I'm just going to wait. So anyway, so Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's certainly not the way of the world, right? I don't know anybody. I was never taught to do that. And in high school, I never heard anybody say, you know, I pray for my enemies or try to love them all the time and take good care of them. Did you ever hear anybody say that? That, verse 45. Ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For, reason being, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The word perfect there is a word that means mature. Like if you picked an apple way before it's time to pick it, it's not going to taste that good. You wait till it's a certain look and everything else, and then it tastes delicious if you like apples. But Susan's got some figs outside or in the kitchen that we picked off of Donnie and Terry's tree, and we were looking for the mature ones, the ones that were ready to, so we'll see. But they were a little early, but probably are doing well. But that's how God is. He will take care of the unjust and the evil. Just the way he is. He looks beyond all that stuff. let's go to John chapter 13. And it's just great learning for us. I don't think any of these verses of Scripture are new to us. I'm sure it's not the first time it's come to our ears. But we can learn to increase in love. We have all the love. We have the love of God in us because of the new birth. It's a matter of manifesting it, you know. And we can increase in love more and more and more in life. John chapter 13, verse 34. This was a startling thing to the apostles. Luke again. Maybe I should get that big print Bible. That's funny. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as you would have your neighbor love you. No. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men know, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So people would be able to know if we're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ by how we love people. kind of the way it is. So let's say you picture this man that's a bit overweight, a bit flabby, a bit weak, and he said, you know, I go to the gym every day and work out for 2 hours a day, and I'm with all the, you know, I'm lifting all this. His word wouldn't match his looks, right? So here Jesus Christ is saying, by this, by what? The, you know, that you love like I'm loving you. That's how people are going to know that you follow me. It's interesting. But this must have really been quite a startling revelation to their souls. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And they experienced that love from the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 12, here's an example of it. This is in the with Jesus Christ last night with the apostles. And he washed their feet. We're familiar with that record. And it says in verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye not, or know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And right after the resurrection, there were 12 massage or pedophile, not oh, pedophile, pedophile. what do you call them?
Pedicures.
And what do they do for, what's the name for what, rubbing your feet? What's that called?
Massage.
Massage what?
Reflexology.
Reflexology. 12 reflexology places opened up in New Jerusalem right after this. I don't think that's what he was talking about, right? If I then, your Lord, verse 14, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you all an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Yeah. Verse 21. It's the same scenario. Judas, as we know, is one of the apostles there, and he had his feet washed, and he was at the table with them. Verse 21 says, and when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now when Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him and that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, It is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest quickly. So, you know, the love, one of the manifestations of Jesus Christ's love is he was willing to try to bless the man that was going to betray him. I don't think many of us would be really happy if one of us started bad-mouthing all the rest of us, and you know, it might irritate you a lot. But Jesus Christ was willing to give him a sop, which means that he was the special guest, the most honored guest at that table. Interesting. That's the type of love that Jesus Christ loved those apostles with. And he's saying, hey, this is how you guys should live. How did Jesus Christ love that big? Well, let's look at John chapter 13, verse 25. I'm all over the place. John 13. We read that already. Verse 25, yep. Okay, well, there's a verse. I wrote down my stuff too quickly. where Jesus Christ said that he loved them, he loved with the love wherewith he was loved. Maybe it's John 7 or something. I don't know. It probably ends with a verse 25. There's a verse of scripture that says, I have loved you with the love that God, that he has been loved, basically.
Verse 34:13.
What verse?
34.
What chapter?
John 13.
13. And verse 34?
Yeah, is that what the one you're looking for?
No, that's the one I that's the one I just read. But it shows how he was able to love so big, because he was loved by God Almighty. And he loved the apostles like he was being loved.
Probably 15.
Oh, it's in here someplace. That's funny. I forgot to write it in there. I wrote my note for it.
Your notes
and what? Anybody know where this verse is? I'm doing this on purpose, just questioning.
Father loved him, so he loved his father. Is that what you're looking for?
No. Huh? Okay, well, it's in there.
What happens when you go to take a day off to go to the beach?
I'm all discombobulated.
John 15 is 9.
Yeah. That's what I just read. 15:9.
If you're looking for that he loved the way he was loved.
Well, that's a good one. verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. Yep.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Well, the command was to love with the love wherewith I have been loved. You know, God loved Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loved them, and he commanded them that they should love each other with the love that he was loved with. 15:12.
I heard someone say that.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
No.
Another good one.
This is so funny. Well, anyway.
Clearly, this is a well-represented concept.
Well. Okay. Let's move on. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. That's just so funny.
Review here.
Well, we know it's.
I think it's 15 or 16, but I'm not. I think it's in Ezekiel.
Ezekiel? Could be.
Love with the love wherewith
could be Genesis.
I have been loved. That's how Jesus Christ loved. He loved with God the love that he was loved with. Ephesians 5. This one I know is correct. What I did is I transferred all my notes to a better, more legible thing, and I think I forgot to write it in. Okay, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And that's our standard. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, that we can understand the love of Christ, and God's love is just amazing. And we can do so because when we got born again, we got God's Spirit in us, right? And we have His divine nature in us. And part of that divine nature is love. We have the capacity to love like Jesus Christ loved. We have capacity to love like God loves. Did you find it, my darling?
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love.
No, that's the one,
oh, that's one
Mary found.
Sorry.
Which
is Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25.
It's going to bother us all day.
Love your wives, even as Christ.
And nobody
going to
get out of here.
That's
if we read every verse in the Bible, we'll definitely get.
That's not it, but it's got the word wherewith in it. Love with the love wherewith I have loved you, or God has loved me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3.
Are we really going there?
Everyone has a psalm.
Well, thank you for your patience.
We love you.
No more beach.
So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ," that's quite a grouping of individuals, right? God Himself, who's our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, "direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you." So there's the service from Paul and company to the Thessalonians that they loved with the love of God towards them, the statement that they can increase and abound in love toward one another, which is God's will, as we know. Verse 13, "To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." And then in chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." These believers were loving and growing and love and learning love and loving people and loving one another, but they were encouraged to increase in love. We have the love of God in us perfectly, but our manifestation of the love of God is the part that gets increased. Can't get any more love in us spiritually, but we can manifest it more. We can love just like we've been loved by the love of God. So it's just great stuff, and we are, you know, a very loving fellowship, but we can continue to increase in love. And one of the benefits is you don't get all bothered on the inside by other people's actions, because sometimes people can be pretty hurtful to one another, and sometimes believers hurt believers. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but it hurts more when somebody you love hurts you than somebody you don't know that just says something stupid about you. It always hurts more. But God's a comforting God, and we can grow in our ability to, you know, if we love that person, it kind of doesn't bother you quite the same, you know. So obviously it bothered Jesus Christ when God showed him, hey, Judas is going to betray you, because it says he was shaken in spirit, troubled in spirit. But he moved forward with a great loving gesture of trying to get him to recognize what he was doing. Didn't work, but he loved him. So he could have had the other 11 go beat him up, teach him a few other things too. That would be funny. So anyway, so God's encouragement is that we continue to love one another as best as we possibly can manifest.